Father, we thank you for the holy word this morning, the word that you've given to us. And we thank you, Father, that it's alive. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And Father, I thank you this morning that as we approach your word, you cause your word to become alive in us. Father, we thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit this morning. Jesus said he is our teacher. So we make ourselves available to be taught by him. Father, we believe for revelation, for insight to come into our lives. And Lord, I thank you for it. I need your help and your anointing today to be able to communicate in a way that's easy for everyone to be able to understand and receive what we're going to talk about today. And I just thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for your anointing that's already present in this room to destroy yokes and remove burdens. And Father, I thank you for it. I believe, Lord, for people's lives to be changed today. I believe for sick bodies to be healed today. I believe, Father, for those that are being tormented in their minds, that in Jesus' name, they're going to be set free today, that they're going to experience peace for the first time in a long time. And Lord, I thank you for it. I believe you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. You know, we make a little noise in here, so it's okay if you make some noise. You know, every now and then say amen, cough, do something. Let me know that you're still here. But take out your message notes, and we're continuing our series this morning. This is part 5 of our series on the Holy Spirit. Somebody says, well, how many parts are there going to be? I don't know. We're going to take this as far as the Holy Spirit wants us to take it. You know, a lot of times I sit down and I plan out how many parts a series is going to be, but this one's a little bit different. I am just sensing in my heart that I just need to be open and let God take us where he wants to take us. How many of you know that this journey that we're on as a church is a process, and we're all walking this process out? And so I'm excited about this, and we're going to see some things today about the ministry of the Holy Spirit that maybe you've never seen before. And so we'll get into this. Let's look at our foundation scripture found in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And verse 14, I'm reading from the Living Bible. It says this, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. May God's love and the Holy Spirit's friendship be yours. And that's my prayer for each and every one of us, that we would develop an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit, not only today, but in every day of our lives, and begin to understand how he desires to move and work in our lives and to manifest himself through us, in and through us, to make a difference in this world. And as we've said, the Holy Spirit is the third member of the Godhead. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And just because he's third does not mean he's any less than the other two. You know, they're all one person. Again, I've emphasized this. Don't try and figure the Trinity out. You can't wrap your brain around how three persons can be in one. But it's true, and the Bible says that it's so, and you have three different personalities that are all in one person, and we need to learn how to work with each and every one of them. Of course, we have a good working knowledge of God the Father. Most of us have a good working knowledge of Christ the Son, but I believe that if there's any place or any area that we've been lacking, it's maybe a lack of knowledge and understanding on the third person, and that is the Holy Spirit. So that's what we've endeavored to do all throughout this series. If you have missed any of the previous parts, I strongly encourage you, go and listen to the previous messages so that you can be caught up, because we have covered a lot. I'd like to also celebrate for a moment 7 people that received the baptism of the Holy Spirit last weekend. That is awesome. And so here's what I believe. That is a new beginning for us. We're going to make that available every single service. So if you're here and you have never received the baptism in the Holy Spirit with speaking in other tongues, we make that available to you. And so you can be a part of that as well and receive what God has for you. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. I want to read it from the Bible in basic English. It says this, but about the things of the Spirit, and he's talking about spiritual things, and which includes the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He says this, my brothers and my sisters, it is not right for you to be without teaching. And so that's what we're endeavoring to do. And I'm going to be honest with you. I haven't gone and taught these things very much on Sundays. I've taught them in depth on Wednesdays. And by the way, you know, I encourage if you can, come and join us for Bible study on Wednesday night, because we cover some things in depth on Wednesday night that we don't always get to on Sundays. But I have really felt led by the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, to show you some things from the Word regarding the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and you need to be taught. Now, I'll say this to you. You know, when I was a little kid, one of the things that my mother did for my brother and myself is she made us take swimming lessons. Anybody take swimming lessons when you were a kid? You know, so we had to go learn how to swim. And you know, I know it's hard for you to believe when you look at me now how big I am, that I was a little bitty guy when I was, you know, 5, 6, and 7 years old when I was taking swimming lessons. But here, I was so stinking cute back then. And back then it was mostly female lifeguards. And so for some reason, all the girls' lifeguards took a liking to me. And so a lot of times during our times of swimming lessons, they would take me, and even before, you know, I could really swim very well at all, they would take me and they would carry me out to the deep end of the pool, way beyond what I could feel my feet touching and over my head. But I felt comfortable because I knew as long as that lifeguard had me, I was okay. And so here's what I want you to see. We're going to begin to go to the deep end of the pool a little bit. And what I want you to see is not only do I have you, but Jesus has you. And so you're not alone. We're going to get into some deeper things of the Spirit. And I want you to know that it's time for some of us to maybe get out of the kiddie pool and get in the big pool. Okay? It's time to quit splashing around where the water's only about 6 inches deep and take a walk. Let's jump into the other pool, the adult pool. And let's even go beyond where it's 3 and 4 and maybe get to a little place where you can't necessarily touch the bottom. And so we're going to tap into some of those things today. And I want you to know that I'm here with you and that I've got you. So just know that. That's part of my job as a pastor. Okay. Are you all right with that? Okay. I heard a wiser, older pastor who's since gone home to be with the Lord say this many years ago. And that is this, that when you desire to see things happen in your church, no matter what it might be, as far as, you know, moving, God moving, the Holy Spirit moving, things that you want to see the people do, it's okay to pray for those things, and we should pray for those things. But the best way to see those things begin to happen is you have to teach on them. You have to begin to teach people what the Word says. Let me show you an example of this in Jesus' ministry. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35, I want to show you something. By the way, I encourage you, I just a little bit dare you to get your concordance out and go through the four Gospels and look at how many times it says that Jesus would not only preach, but he would teach. Very much so. That, you know, you'll see where he would go someplace and he would begin to teach the people. Not only did he preach and proclaim and all of that, but he took time to sit down and he would teach. And this is one of those examples. Notice it says that Jesus went about all the cities and villages. Look at what he did. He began teaching in their synagogues. And so he would go where the people would gather and he would begin to teach. He also preached the gospel of the kingdom. Now, notice what happened. I believe that these two are connected. As a result of his teaching and a result of his preaching, it says, and he went healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Now, for those of you who are somewhat familiar with the gospels, you might remember that it talks about how Jesus went to his own hometown of Nazareth. And he showed up and he wanted to minister to the people, but as we see in the scriptures tell us that because the people were so familiar with him that they weren't open to receive from him because he was so common to them. He grew up there. And so their response was, who is this guy? I mean, he lived down the street from us. And so the Bible says that Jesus could do no mighty work there except heal a few sick folk. And then if you go on and read just a verse or two after that, it says, and he began to teach them. Now, let me ask you a question. How does faith come? By hearing what? The Word of God. So if we need faith to arise in the hearts of people, we've got to tell them what the Word says. And so I need you to have some faith where the operations of the Holy Spirit are concerned. And the only way that that's going to happen is when we take some time and we teach on it. And we show you what the Word says. Are you on board with that?
Amen.
All right. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to read. I actually want to start at the first verse. Your notes say start at verse 4, but I'm going to start at verse 1. We read verse 1 from another translation just a little bit ago. But it says this, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, and by the way, the word gifts there is italicized in the original text, so it was added. We mentioned that before. So really what it says, concerning spiritual things, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led, and dumb there does, means they couldn't speak. And therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So Paul, just right out of the gate, tells us this. He says, listen, let's don't get it twisted. That if somebody stands up and says Jesus is Lord, the only way they can say that is if the Holy Spirit leads and prompts and guides them to do that. All right, so that'll come up again just in just a little bit. So verse 4, so he goes on to begin to explain. He says, there are diversities of gifts. And that word diversities just simply means different. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. So again, I want you to get this. You cannot put God in a box. Okay? There are going to be some things that we see, whether in this church or other churches, and it, you know, we might not be able to fully wrap our brain around it, but as long as it's scriptural, it's God. Okay? And so then he goes on to say, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. We'll talk more about that in just a minute. For to one is given, now he begins to name the gifts of or manifestations of the Spirit. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith or special faith, that's different than your average believer faith, by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different, or the old says diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. All right? So I wanted to read all of those so you see all nine of the gifts or manifestations of the Spirit. Now here's my promise to you. By the time we get done with this series, you're going to have a basic understanding of all nine gifts of the Spirit. Somebody said, well, you know, I believe that those things passed away. Well, I'm sorry you believe that, but the Bible doesn't say that. Okay? Because the Scripture says in Mark chapter 16, Jesus said this, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And then he said, and those that believe will be saved, and those that don't will be damned. And he said, and these signs will follow them that believe. And he named five miraculous signs that will follow believers. And one of them is that they shall speak with new tongues. Well, if you believe that speaking in tongues and the gifts of the Spirit have passed away, maybe with the apostles, if you have heard that taught, then you better throw out salvation because that comes with it. All right? So if the gifts of the Spirit have passed away, then salvation has passed away. How many of you know salvation has not passed away? Aren't you glad? All right. So let me give you three things, and if you're taking notes, write these down. Let me give you three things that you need to understand about the way the Holy Spirit ministers, okay? Here's the first one. When the Holy Spirit is moving, Jesus, everybody say Jesus, Jesus will be the only one being lifted up. Jesus will be the only one getting the glory. When it is truly the Holy Spirit, the attention, the lifting up, the exalting, the glorifying will not be directed towards a man. It will be directed towards the Lord Jesus. Let's look at John chapter 16, verse 13 and 14. Jesus, talking about the Holy Spirit, said this, "However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come," and He's here, by the way, "He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come." Verse 14, He the Holy Spirit, will glorify me. Can't get any more plain than that. "For He will take of what is mine and declare it to you." So let's just establish right off the board, right from the get-go, that any of the nine gifts or manifestations of the Spirit will always glorify Jesus Christ. Okay? So if you're ever in an environment where, somebody is attempting to use and operate in the gifts of the Spirit and they are being glorified, be cautioned. Okay? That's not the Lord. All right? So you need to understand that. Here's the second thing I want you to get. And these are basic. You must understand these things before you go further into the gifts of the Spirit. All right? Here's the second one. Number two, or the second one is this. The Word and the Holy Spirit will always agree and never conflict with each other. I'm going to say that again. The Word of God, the written Word of God, and the Holy Spirit will always agree and never conflict with each other. Okay? That's very important because sometimes, and I know people mean well and they mess up. We all mess up. We'll talk about that in just a second. But what I want you to see is that the Holy Spirit will never lead anybody to do or say anything under the guise of the gifts of the Spirit and it conflicts or goes against what the Bible says. Okay? So we need to understand that. So just basic foundation things. Here's the third one. All right? Well, let me read that scripture. 1 John 5, 7. "For there are three," John says, "that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one." So here's what John is telling us. You're never going to find God saying one thing, Jesus saying something else, and the Holy Spirit just kind of out here doing His own thing. It's not going to happen, okay? All of them are going to be consistent all the way across the board, all right? Here's the third thing, all right? This is important too. A perfect Holy Spirit desires to move through imperfect people. I'm so glad. Because if we had to wait till we were perfect before God could use us, ain't none of us going to get used. I got news for you. I know you think you holy and all that, and you might be, all right? But we're all a work in progress. We will not reach perfection until we get to heaven. And so you need to understand that God is willing, and He's just so good. He is willing to move through and by the Holy Spirit through imperfect people. Now, that being said, understand this, that when you're endeavoring to be obedient to the Lord and your heart is right and you're wanting to do what God tells you to do and be led by the Holy Spirit, I don't plan on it, but let me just say, you will make mistakes because you're human. You're imperfect, all right? Guess what? It's okay. Jesus will not fall off the throne. He won't say, "Psh, I ain't using them anymore." No, if you make a mistake, you just say, "Lord, I'm sorry. I missed it. I ask You to forgive me." And the Holy Spirit's right there to keep right on going with you. Okay, so I want you to understand that. So those three things are paramount, that you understand them and get them down into your heart. Because I do not want you as a body of believers to have this unrealistic expectation that those who operate in the things of the Spirit are spiritually elite. There's no such thing as spiritually elite people. You know, I've been involved in ministries where, you'd have the prayer people. And, when they'd walk in the room, you almost could hear the, and the angels singing it. No, that's just not real, all right? And then, I'm just saying that Let's everybody realize we all start on the same playing field, and God is merciful, God is kind, and He wants to use all of us wherever we are. You know, think about this. Let me just kind of give you some background. A lot of our scriptures are coming from the letters that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. And in one breath, he's having to coach them on how to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. He commends them that they speak in tongues and they do all these things. But at the same time, he had to turn right back around and rebuke them because of how much they were operating in the flesh. Okay? I mean, this is the church. Think about this, okay? This is the church where a guy was sleeping with his stepmother, and it was known all throughout the church, and Paul had to write a deal with it. Okay? So they weren't perfect. They were far from it. But thank God, he repented, they repented, everybody got it together and went on. So I just want you to know that we're all in this together, and as you know, we learn about these things, and as we flow with them, God's going to show up, and he's going to do what he wants to do, and it's going to be okay. All right? That's what I want you to get. All right? So the gifts of the Spirit, the nine gifts of the Spirit, can be categorized or grouped together in three different groups. And it's important that you understand these groups because they kind of connect each other with how they operate. All right? So there are three types. Here's the different categories. Here's the first one. There are three gifts of the Spirit that say something. Some people call them inspirational gifts. Some people call them utterance gifts. But just plain basic English, what they just say something. They verbalize something. And they are prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. So those three gifts involve you being vocal. You say something. So the gift of prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Now, I'm going to go into depth in these three in just a moment. The other six we'll cover as we go through this series. Here's the next three. The next three. There are three gifts of the Spirit that reveal something. Okay? That bring revelation. They reveal something. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. Okay, and I can't resist. Can I just say, the discerning of spirits is not the gift of suspicion? You know, you got that person, there's just something about them. I think they got a demon or something. No, it doesn't work like that, all right? So those are three gifts that reveal something. They cause something to be revealed, all right? Then the last three are three gifts that do something. They do something, okay? And though they are the gift of faith, and the Amplified defines this better. It's the gift of special faith. You as a believer, you have faith, but there is a turbo version of faith that God gives us when the need arises, and that's what this special faith is all about. And then the working of miracles and the gifts of healings. Okay, we're going to talk about all of these so you'll have a good working knowledge of them, how they're connected. I'll mention some things about how they relate to ministry gifts. And the ministry gifts are the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. That's the five ministry gifts that Paul mentions in Ephesians chapter 4. So as we talk about some of these, understand this. Just because God may use you in one does not mean that you're necessarily in that office, i.e., and I've mentioned this before, but just because God uses you in the simple gift of prophecy does not make you a prophet. So don't go to the store and print up your business cards just yet, okay? Just wait on that. So here's what I want to do. I want to just take this morning, we're going to take some time, and we're going to talk about these gifts that say something. The gifts that say something. Turn to somebody close by and tell them, touch them real lightly and say this. There's three that say something. Tell them this. God wants to use you in these. Okay? Now, as we get into this, let me differentiate something for you just to bring some understanding. Last week and the previous few weeks, we talked about speaking in tongues that God enables us to be able to do as private believers, okay? We taught extensively on that. We taught about the benefits of that. And so, praise God, seven people received that last week. Now, what we're talking about this week is not necessarily tongues in your private devotional life. We're talking about utterance gifts, vocal gifts that operate in the corporate church body, in a church setting, okay? So I just wanted to clarify that a little bit. Here's the first one. Number one, the gift of diverse kinds of tongues, here's the definition, is a supernatural utterance in a known, unknown tongue. Diverse kinds of tongues is a supernatural utterance in an unknown tongue. Okay? What does that mean? It means that it's the Holy Spirit speaks through you a language that you do not know as the speaker. We had somebody ask a great question, you know, as we were ministering the baptism in the Holy Spirit last week. You know, will I be able to understand this language? And the truth of the matter is, no, you as the speaker will not. Okay? And that's part of the purpose behind it. And so what you need to understand, in a public church setting, the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, may move on someone to give an utterance in other tongues, verbally, out to the general public, where everybody can hear it. And it's not understood by the person who is doing the speaking. And not necessarily understood by the people who are doing the hearing. However, I have been, and I've heard of, church environments, service environments, where somebody gave a message in tongues, and unbeknownst to them, there was somebody in the room that spoke that language, and God spoke to them directly through that utterance. It's a supernatural thing. I remember a testimony of somebody, and this person who gave the utterance had no clue what they were saying, but they were speaking to their, you know, just giving it out publicly. They were speaking old school Hebrew. And there happened to be an Orthodox Jew in the room who knew the language that they were speaking. And the Holy Spirit spoke through this person and spoke directly to this person something only they would know and understand. It's a sign, it's a miracle that God uses to show people He's God. Okay? And so the gift of tongues is, and we're talking about in public setting, is the most prominent in what we talk about and what the Bible talks about. The reason being is because it should be, and it will be, the most often manifested in our services versus the other vocal gifts. It is the initial evidence, as you know, and we've taught on this, of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And here's something else you need to understand. It is specific for this church age, the dispensation in which we're living right now. Let me just kind of briefly explain what I'm talking about. Seven of the other gifts of the Spirit you can find in the Old Testament. Seven of the other gifts of the Spirit you can find in Jesus' ministry. But you do not find tongues and interpretation of tongues in the Old Testament or in Jesus' ministry that we have any record of. Somebody said, well, do you believe Jesus spoke in tongues? I don't know. We don't have any record of Him speaking in other tongues. But we do have record of it happening after Jesus was raised from the dead and ascended and the church age began. That's when the gift was given. Okay, so it's only pertinent to this particular dispensation that we are living in. Here's something else you need to understand. Speaking in tongues has nothing to do with linguistic ability. Okay? Just because you can speak Spanish does not mean you can speak in tongues. Okay? And I'm not trying to be funny when I say that, because there are some denominations that have taught that it's just an ability that God gives you to be able to learn a foreign language easier. And that's not true at all. It's a supernatural vocal miracle. Okay? And it doesn't have anything to do with your mind. It's simply something that happens. Now, what happens and the way it works is that in the flow of a service, when the time is right, the Holy Spirit will move on somebody to give verbally out loud an utterance in other tongues. And there is a time and there's a place for it, okay? Paul stressed this in 1 Corinthians 14 and 15, you know, talking about the order of things and how that works. Okay, we'll get into more of that later. Here's the second gift that I want to talk about, a gift that says something, and that is this. The gift of interpretation of tongues is a revealing of that which has been said in an unknown tongue. I'm going to say that again. The gift of interpretation of tongues is a supernatural revealing of that which has been said in an unknown tongue. Okay? What that means is when somebody gives in a corporate church setting a message or an utterance in other tongues, that there should be somebody present who can offer up an interpretation of that also by the Holy Spirit. Now, I put this in your notes so you wouldn't misunderstand this, all right? Interpretation of tongues is not a translation. Okay? So very often what you will hear in a church setting is somebody will give an utterance in tongues, and it might be very short. And then somebody give the interpretation, and it's very long. You know, it's not like if you're interpreting for somebody who's speaking Spanish, you know, you're translating, and they say hola, and you say hello, and they say sí, and you say yes, okay? That's not the way this works, okay? All right, I wanted to be sure I clarify that, all right? So what is the purpose of interpretation of other tongues? The Bible says that God's desire is that everybody in the corporate environment be blessed by what's going on. He wants everybody to be able to receive, not just a few. He wants the entire church to be blessed and to be ministered to by what is spoken. Well, if I stand up here and I just start speaking in tongues and nobody interprets what I'm saying, that ain't blessing nobody except me. 1 Corinthians 14 says, he who speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. So I could stand up here and speak in tongues all day long, and I'm edified, I'm built up. But it ain't done nothing for you. It hasn't helped you at all because you don't have a clue as to what is being said. So what God desires to do is to bring about an interpretation so that you can be blessed by what is being said by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so the whole purpose is to bring understanding to the whole church congregation as well as to the one who gave the utterance, okay, so that everybody can be edified together. Look at 1 Corinthians 14, 13, and this is going to really bless you. For those of you who are baptized in the Holy Spirit and do speak in other tongues in your private prayer life, look at what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, 13. He said, therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue or in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Now, let me take just a moment here, because I didn't do this in the previous weeks, to talk about this aspect of both your private devotional time of praying in other tongues and the public ministry of diverse kinds of tongues. And that is this: it is okay for you to pray and ask God to do one of two things. Number one, to interpret what you're praying in your private prayer time, and or be used by God to interpret in a corporate setting. Okay? What do I mean by that? Well, in your private devotional time, when you spend time praying in other tongues, now, I need to maybe teach on this just a second and say this. In your own private devotional time, a lot of times it will not be an interpretation in the sense of where you pray a little bit in tongues and then all of a sudden you pray a little bit in English and you're interpreting what you said in tongues. Okay, it's a little different. A lot of times what will happen in your private devotional time when you spend time praying in the Spirit, the interpretation will come in one of a few ways. Number one, it could be an impression that you get in your spirit. Maybe the Lord is, you're praying about something that's upcoming in your life, and so the Lord begins to show you, reveal to you what that is. A lot of times with me, it will be where I will pray about something in other tongues, and then later on as I'm reading the Bible, all of a sudden immense revelation will come from what I'm reading. What is that? That's an interpretation of what I've been praying for in other tongues. And so it can happen a number of different ways. So I don't want you to get stuck in a rut thinking, okay, I need to spend time praying in other tongues, and now I need to wait and interpret, because that's not necessarily what's going to happen. A lot of times in your private prayer time, you don't need to necessarily interpret it. It's as, remember what the last verse that we read in 1 Corinthians 12? It's as the Holy Ghost wills. Okay? It's as He desires. Are you tracking with me? Okay. In the corporate setting, there will be the same way that you have a leading down here in your spirit to give an utterance in other tongues. There will be a leading down here in your spirit to speak forth something in the known language, and in our case, that's English, that is an interpretation of what's being said. Guys, they're getting cold. Somebody adjust the thermostat, please. Put a log on the fire or something. I see folks wrapping up. I'm great, but I don't want people so cold they ain't hearing what I'm saying. Their teeth are chattering so much, okay? All right, so again, an utterance comes forth in a public setting, and then the Holy Spirit moves and brings the interpretation. Why? So that the entire body can be built up. The entire body can be edified. All right? Here's number three. Okay, number three. The gift of prophecy, here's the gift of prophecy defined, is a supernatural utterance in a known tongue. And in our case, would be in English. Okay? So it's a supernatural utterance in a known tongue. Now, the thing that you need to understand about the heart of God is that God is always after blessing as many as He possibly can. So in a corporate setting, He's about everybody being able to get blessed. Now, obviously, not everybody will, but He's trying to reach the majority of people. So look at these verses. 1 Corinthians 14:3. Again, Paul says this, but he who prophesies in the simple gift of prophecy, he's not talking about the office of the prophet, he's talking about the simple gift of prophecy, speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort. Okay, that's very important. I don't want to harp too much on the negative, but I do need to say this because, I believe it's been abused. Somebody that is used in the simple gift of prophecy does not give you a license to rebuke people and call it, thus says the Lord. Okay? Now, the office of the prophet is a little different. We'll talk about that later. But what I want you to see is, if somebody comes up to you and says, I just have a word from the Lord, and then they proceed to read you the riot act, and just, I can pretty much assure you, that's probably not the Lord. Okay? All right? Why? Because the simple gift of prophecy will always be to edification, exhortation, and comfort. Okay? The simple gift of prophecy. And so there will be no revelation in the simple gift of prophecy. Those come with other gifts. But there will not be any revelation in the simple gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy is the greatest of the utterance gifts. Why? Because it does what the other two combined do. Think with me. Think. Use your noggin for a second. What's better, give an utterance in the known tongue, English, or to have to give a tongue and then the interpretation of tongues in order to accomplish the same thing? Obviously, prophecy works easier and much better. That's why Paul said, I'd rather that you prophesy. Look what 1 Corinthians 14:1 says. Pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Okay? And I'm going to tell you, give you some indications of what this looks like. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 39 says this, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly. The old King James says, covet to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues. Okay? So, God says that He wants all of us to desire to prophesy. Now, does prophecy always look like you stand up in a church service and you declare, like the teacher said earlier, thus says the Lord? Okay? No, that could be, But most of the time, with the normal average believer, it's going to be much simpler than that. All right, let me go on to describe it. All right, write this down so that you can get this. And I'm going to describe this. With this gift, there is forthtelling, but not foretelling. What does that mean? When you're operating in the simple gift of prophecy, you're not going to predict the future for people. Again, that's another gift. The simple gift of prophecy is to speak a divinely inspired utterance that brings edification, exhortation, and comfort. Okay? So there will be foretelling. In other words, you're telling something, but there won't be any foretelling. Okay? In other words, there won't be any telling of the future. Okay? It can be involved in what I do in preaching and teaching the Word. Let me give you an example. Now, that's not to say every time that I get up or you get up or whoever's ministering the Word of God is operating in the gift of prophecy. But here's what it looks like if it comes forth during this time, where I might say something like, I don't know why I'm saying this, but I feel like I need to say XYZ. And so I say something that is a divinely inspired utterance in our known tongue. And it will bring edification, exhortation, and comfort. All right? It could be, and this happens quite frequently, that, I'll be ministering along, and all of a sudden, at the end of the service, somebody will come up to me and say, you know, it was so good when you said da-da-da-da-da. And I can show you my notes. I did not say da-da-da-da-da. But that's what you heard and received by the Holy Spirit. That's a divinely inspired utterance. Are you tracking with me? I haven't lost anybody. All right? It could be involved in witnessing. Okay? Let me show you how simple it can be. You're at the grocery store, minding your own business. And all of a sudden, you just have this leading down here in your heart that the Lord says, go tell that person I love them and I care about them. You don't have to do a tongues and interpretation. It's just a simple gift of a divinely inspired utterance in their known language that will bring edification, exhortation, and comfort. All right? Are you following me? Okay. There could be times when in your private prayer time that you operate in the simple gift of prophecy, where you're praying and the Lord inspires you to begin to pray some things in your known language. That's the simple gift of prophecy. So what I want you to see is that all of these three vocal gifts that say something, all right, whether it's diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, or the simple gift of prophecy, are all going to have the same end result, to bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to the church body, those that are present in that corporate setting. There have been times when in our prayer times on Saturday morning where the Lord has, predominantly me because I'm leading a lot, that the Lord will inspire me to say something to those that are here, that are present and praying. And if there is no aspect of the future to it or anything like that, it's just a simple word of encouragement, edification, or whatever. If it is inspired by the Holy Ghost, it is the simple gift of prophecy. Somebody says, Pastor, why are you teaching us all this? Because I want this in my church, and the only way it's going to happen is if you know what you're doing. Amen. That's the bottom line. Okay? And so, I know it might be kind of tedious, and I know it might be kind of detailed, but listen, you got to understand some details and some things about how the Holy Spirit works, because we don't need this to be messing up because we ignorant. Amen. All right. Y'all flowing with me? All right. Now, here's the last thing I want to say to you. And this is probably one of the coolest aspects of this. Okay. Again, in your personal devotional time, you can operate in the gift of prophecy. Okay. Now, again, does that mean you're going to stand up and tell yourself, thus says the Lord? No. It's going to be something really, really simple, really sweet, and something that the Holy Spirit will do for you. Go over with me to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. All right? I love these verses. Ephesians 5, 18 and 19. And do not get drunk on wine. Let's bow our heads and pray. Amen. All right. No, he says this. He says, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery or other sin. Instead, he says, be filled with what?
Spirit.
He said, be filled with what?
The Spirit.
He said, be filled with what?
The Spirit.
Okay. Now, in the original Greek language, this doesn't mean get filled one time. It means being filled. In other words, in the continual sense. Here's why. Everybody look at me for a moment. Because you leak. You leak. How many of you know if you go through the day-to-day activities, and it happens to all of us. You're going through your day-to-day activities, and you haven't really been able to spend time in the Word like you like to, or spend time in prayer. How many of you know sometimes your attitude kind of gets a little out of whack, and you feel yourself maybe kind of getting a little fussy and ornery and all of that. Why is that? It's because you're leaking. You're leaking. You need another filling. You need to get filled up. And here's the good news. The filling up is up to you more than it is God. So you can get filled up anytime you want to. That's why a lot of times when I'm in this Charlotte traffic, I'm trying to get filled up as much as I can. And, you know, it's crazy because I can be in the middle of worship, hallelujah, oh, just talking about the reckless love of God, and all of a sudden some idiot pulls in front of me, and just all that goes out the window, and I have to reel myself back in. And then start, because I leaked a little bit, and so I gotta spend some time praying in other tongues, and so I can fill back up and get the tank top back off a little bit, all right? But let's go on. Let's read this. He said, but be being filled with the Spirit. How, Paul? How do we do this? Speaking to yourselves, the old language says, this translation says speaking to one another, but it starts with you privately. Speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from whom?
The Spirit.
Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Somebody says, I can't sing. That's all right. God knows that. That's why the Bible says in Psalm 100, make a joyful noise. All right. Some of us have to make some noise. All right. But here's what I want you to see. Notice what he says, that you'll begin to speak in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. See, if you'll spend time praying in other tongues, pretty soon what will happen is once you get the tank topped off, that the Lord will begin to minister to you in your known language, and he'll begin to have things start flowing out of you. And a lot of times it could be in the form of a psalm. Now, don't think psalm necessarily like the book of Psalms. I'm talking about just a word that the Lord brings out. Or it could be a song. Those of us who are musicians and can speak and say words like musician, that God will use us in the arena of music. But God wants to use you and to minister to you in this capacity so that you can stay full and that you will be edified, that you will be exhorted, and you will be comforted. And he'll begin to speak to you in this way. And so I just encourage you, make some time where you begin in your own private prayer language to spend time praying in other tongues and worshiping God. This is why I say, and you don't have to do it the way I do it, but here's the way I do it, just so you know. I went to TJ Maxx, and I went and bought me one of them little bitty speakers. You know those little Bluetooth speakers that are about that long and look like they're round like that? I have another one that it's bigger and all that kind of stuff. I use that in the main part. But in my study, I bought this little one that I can keep on my desk. And so when it comes time for me to spend time in prayer, I don't just have it where it's quiet and dead. No, I get, and listen, it's on Apple, Spotify. Just Google or search this, instrumental prayer music. And you'll see, I'll tell you, there's a couple that does, that's all they do is make this kind of music. And they're Christian, don't worry. It's Kimberly and Alberto Rivera. They record prayer music and environmental music like that. That's perfect. So you can play that and have that playing. And here's what it will do is it'll create an atmosphere of worship while you're trying to pray, and it helps you keep control of your mind and distractions that are going on. And it will enable you to be able to spend longer times in prayer. Are you listening to me? Because here's what I want you to understand. God is wanting to take each and every one of us to new levels in Him further than you have ever been before. That's why when I was in prayer this morning, the Lord told me, He said, tell them about the illustration about the swimming pool. Because listen, there are a lot of us sitting in this room. It's time to go to the deep end. And don't be scared. It's okay. All right? You're going to be fine. Are you listening to me? Have I lost you? Turn to somebody close by and say, I'm glad you came to church today. Because He had a thus saith the Lord for you.